Okay. Morning, everyone. And welcome to the Technical Committee Advisory Committee. And so I'm going to call, if everything's all right, I will call the meeting to order. We have all the technical. Some of you are online, some of you okay, great. We're going to be recording once again. This is the Evansville MPO Technical Advisory Committee. And this is meeting this morning, so I want to make sure we are going to start, and some of you are going to be online, some of you will be, we have some folks in person, so hopefully you can hear and you'll be able to see the materials and everything. So the very first thing we do in terms of an agenda, we have a presentation by Bernadette DuPont and Daryl Greenfell, Carrie Carmody George, Brandon Burgess, and Troy Hearn. Is that correct?
Yes, and then we'll do the, I'm going to wait to do roll call until after the presentation.
Okay, so sure are they going to do a screen share or something where we'll be able to see something? Is that the case?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome. We're going to turn it over to you making your presentation.
Bernadette, if you're ready, you can take the stage.
Turning on mute is a big one. Sorry about that.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to share my screen now. Just give me 1 second.
Okay.
It should be working. Let me know when you can see my presentation.
Okay.
We good?
I think so. Can everybody see it?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. We are a team here, and we're happy that we have been asked to do this presentation. If you notice, it's a biking and health. And today, I always like to start the presentations off with what today is. It's National Crouton Day. And believe it or not, that's as close as I can get for today about a health thing. Because it goes on silence. So we're trying to be a little healthy. And of course, it's also National Frog Jumping Day, National Apple Pie Day, and I have to somehow move this down so that you all can see everything. I don't know how to make that small. There we go. Sorry about that. National Apple Pie Day and National Fruit Cocktail Day, which I think are all healthy. And for some reason, it has a delay on the changing. Now, the reason we put this presentation together in the first place is one of our MPOs in Kentucky, the Owensboro MPO, was having a lot of complaints because people weren't liking to have bike lanes on their roadways. And so you've got to think, everyone has a different perspective, and this picture just really exemplifies that. But if you have information at your fingertips and you can share perhaps a different perspective with the people in your audience. Just start with a couple of facts, and I'm focusing on Kentucky because I am from Kentucky, but this presentation has Indiana and Kentucky information. But just to give you an idea, the population of Kentucky, according to the U.S. Census 2020 estimate, was almost 4.5 million. And then I went to the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's Division of Motor Carriers, and I asked for the total number of registered vehicles, and they broke it down. And for the people who are non-commercial vehicles, including motorcycles, there's 3.3 million people. The number of licensed drivers is 2.07, which is almost 3.1, I mean. So the ratio of non-commercial vehicles to licensed drivers is almost a 1-to-1. However, when you look at the population and compare that, that means there's 32.21% without cars. So that's a large number of people. And if you're looking, you know, Kentucky's known for its horses, its tobacco, its bourbon. And we were just voted world's best bourbon, and this came out today. But we are 43rd out of 50 states for health, and that's something I don't want to be known for. So the reason, just to give you some information, the Netherlands is known as the cycling nation, and there was a great webinar, and it's online, and everything on this presentation has a web link that you can go to if you want to find out more, or even just listen to this gentleman speaking. He's the ambassador to the Kingdom of the Netherlands. And with COVID-19, the interest in biking increased worldwide, not just in the United States. So there's a big focus on that. And if you think of our parking lots, I wanted you to get an idea of what the parking lot in Amsterdam, looks like, the Netherlands. There's 7 million Dutch residents, 25 million bikes. 45% arrive at the train station by bike, and 26% of all the trips there in the Netherlands is by bike. Now, they do a survey, and it comes out once every 2 years. This one will probably come out this year around September, but the world's most bike-friendly cities. It's done by two different countries, Copenhagenize, which is an urban cycling design company, and they look at multiple factors such as safety, traffic, bike share programs, and infrastructure. Notice on that list, nowhere on there is a U.S. city. Vancouver in Canada and Montreal, Canada are the closest we get, and that's just North America. And then, of course, the other company is Koya, a German insurance company. They add an additional factor such as crime and safety, which includes bike theft, infrastructure, sharing, different types of events. But again, nowhere on there is a U.S. city. And Montreal, Canada was the only one that made this list. And then, of course, just to give you an idea, if we're talking about that Koya, 62 was London, England. And I just wanted to show you, they had a best picture, so I took their picture. But they have what they call a cycle superhighway, and they have divided the vehicles from the bicycles from the pedestrians. And I think this is an ideal picture to show you. And then, of course, when they evaluate the USA's most bike-friendly cities, this is most recent from 2020, it's done by Smart Asset, which is an independent personal finance company. And they'll look at such things as the bike score number, which you can look at for any of your cities, the percentage of biking to work, the National Transportation Safety Administration's fatality rate, the number of miles of protected bike lanes, and the most recent census commodity survey on household income. What they found was, and notice, Indiana's not on there, and neither is Kentucky, is the top 10, but Portland, Oregon was, and they were the highest at 5.3% biking to work. However, according to the Census Bureau, only one out of every 200 Americans, which is 0.5%, bike to work. Now, I want to introduce to you, just so that you'll know the names and have the information, Brandon Burgoa. He is the State Bicycle and Pedestrian Coordinator for NDOT. So, Brandon, are you on? I know he accepted the invitation, but we'll go ahead and this is the link to their website, and their policy is that NDOT is committed to advancing and promoting multimodal.
Hey, Bernadette, I think he's on mute.
Oh, okay, Brandon. I can't see the little things.
I can see him talking, but I can't hear him.
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, Brandon.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I apologize. I was having some device issues. I'm Brandon Burgoa. I am the statewide bicycle and pedestrian coordinator here at NDOT in the central office. I also work with the Greenfield District, some of the MPOs and RPOs there. But NDOT is committed to advancing and promoting multimodal active transportation planning. This includes walking and bicycling, and I think down the road we want to have a more distinct approach to these two, helping them together. And then we're also going to be looking at some micromobility initiatives and trends in walking, bicycling, and in that realm, especially as we kind of move towards, you know, potentially a new era of transportation.
And when is your active transportation plan going to be ready?
We're looking here, I think, for a final review internally, probably mid to end June. I would like to have this published for public comment here by July.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay, well, thank you, Brandon. It was nice to put a name with a face for a lot of people, I'm sure. And then, of
course, thanks for having me and dealing with microphone issues.
Oh, there you go. Well, thanks. The bicycle pedestrian policy for Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is on the screen right now. And we do not currently have a statewide bike and pedestrian coordinator. Someone is coming soon. They're hoping to have someone on board in June. And I'll go ahead and read this. This Kentucky Transportation will consider the incorporation of pedestrian and bicycling facilities on all new or reconstructed state-maintained roadways. So this parallels the federal highway policy, and we say they shall be considered, and they adopted that policy. But it'd be great if they said it every road, but, you know, that's wishful thinking. And then, of course, I want to introduce you to the federal highway bike and pedestrian coordinators, and we have two, one from Indiana. Carrie, would you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. I'm Carrie Carmen George with Federal Highways Indiana Division, and I am both the bicycle and pedestrian contact for Federal Highways in Indiana right now, and I'm also the planning contact for Evansville and Pew.
Great, thank you. And then Darren, would you introduce yourself and read the policy?
Yeah, this is Darren Grenfell with Federal Highways here in Kentucky. I am the bicycle and pedestrian coordinator and support the FHWA policy to help provide funding, policy guidance, program management, and resources. There's an excellent link there below this slide. And also just to remind everybody that this promotes pedestrian safety, comfortable ride and convenient walking, bicycle riding. I am an enthusiast, so if you have any questions, I'd love to help you out. Thanks, Bernadette.
Thank you, Darren. And if you notice, the safety is highlighted there because that's the North Star for all federal highway activities. We're going to focus on safety. And this is the website that Darren was just talking about. If you go, this is what it looks like. And now the arrow is pointing to the funding source because we know funding is, you know, paramount to getting things implemented quite often. And the next page talks about funding. And if you look at the three top green ones, those are all about funding opportunities. They're competitive programs, the congestion mitigation and air quality, surface transportation block grant, and that includes Safe Routes to School, which is an old program, but we still have money. Transportation alternatives for transportation is called STBG-TA. And then of course, the recreational trail program, which really says biking. And then of course we also, this is something new in Kentucky and it's something that I think you might want to take advantage of. Currently, the way it works in Kentucky is that the Highway Safety Improvement Program sent, is a funding program with federal highways, but the state sends us over a list of projects that they have selected. In the future, if your area has a local road safety plan and you have applied for money, then you will be able to try and get some of the HSLP money. And I included a link there, so because we don't have time on this presentation today, but if you go there, it's a 2-minute video, 2.5 minutes, I think, tells you about local road safety plans, what should be included. It's a really nice little video. And then of course, you can always use National Highway Program funds and planning funds, which the MPO has access to. And you can develop plans, data collection, your counts and monitoring can be done with that data collection, mapping, safety programs, and of course, training. And then of course, if you, when I'm talking about the training, if you go to that Federal Highway website, there's links to everything on there and all different programs and everything's free. Then of course there's funding also available from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Resources, or Human Services. They have grants. And we're in Region 4 of the Atlanta region, and that's the website to that. But that leads me right into an introduction of Troy Hearn, our health program administrator for the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Human Services. And Troy, do you want to introduce yourself and talk about your funding?
Thank you, Bernadette. Troy Hearn, formerly the Kentucky Transportation Pedestrian and Bicycle Program Coordinator, now working with our Kentucky State Health Department. I work in the Division of Prevention and Quality Improvement, and specifically in our State Physical Activity and Nutrition Program. I'm the Active Living Program Coordinator. I work with the agencies, federal agencies, work with Darren a lot. I saw Darren out on his bicycle Monday when I was riding, so I know he talks the talk and walks the walk. Work with our Kentucky Transportation Cabinet quite a bit. We provide funding for planning of bike walk facilities, infrastructure improvements, and safety. A lot of the other resources you mentioned were for the construction of it. So it's nice that there's a funding opportunity on the front end of it. Those funding opportunities are available through your regional and county health departments here in Kentucky. So definitely reach to those. There's a definite connection between our built environment and health. Some of our goals are to increase physical activity through community design, specifically through accommodating bicycling and walking as a mode of transportation and recreation, increase the number and the quality of walk facilities in our state, and increase the quality and quantity communities that have an overall bike walk master plan. And that's just the iceberg here. So feel free to contact me, troy.hearn@ky.gov, or you can just Google Troy Hearn Kentucky Bike Walk.
Well, thank you, Troy. And that's nice to know about that additional funding opportunity. Now, when we're implementing anything in federal highways, we use the 5E comprehensive approach. And it talks about engineering, which would be the design and construction of the bike path facilities, education, teaching bicyclists, pedestrians, and motorists, enforcing, ensuring that the traffic laws and rules are followed, encouragement, and that sometimes means providing incentives. And then, of course, at the very end of all this, you want to make sure you evaluate it to make sure you get achieve the outcomes. But today, because we're talking about changing perspectives, we want to have data at our fingertips, so we're going to focus on the education portion. So let's start with the data. The United Health Foundation comes out with a annual report, and they did not do one in 2020, so we don't have those current numbers. God bless you. Obesity among adults is up 166%. It was 11.6% in 1990, and it's up to 30.9% in 2019. The diabetes among adults is up 148%, 4.4% in 1996, up to 10.9% in 2019. So if you want to start with the data, they look at a lot of different categories: behaviors, community and environment, public and health policies, clinical care, and health outcomes. And there's those sheets are available. I gave you the page numbers and the links. You can check out the specific data for each one of those. But Indiana is ranked 41st out of 50. Kentucky is 43rd. So we have a long ways to go to improve our health. So let's start with the data. In Kentucky, the behavioral data was physical inactivity. We are the worst in the United States, 50 out of 50. 32.4% of adults are inactive. Our smoking, we're not much better, 49 out of 50. Even though that's declining, we were 30% of the population in 2012 that smoked. We're down to 23%. It's still 49 out of 50. Obesity is 46 out of 50. Drug deaths are 46 out of 50. And that's increased 96% in the last 10 years. The outcomes, we are the worst in the country for cancer deaths, 50 out of 50. So that means out of every 100,000 population, 233.4 people will die. Diabetes, 44 out of 50. Cardiovascular deaths, 42 out of 50. Now notice, in Indiana, you're slightly better than us. Your smoking is 47 out of 50, obesity, 35 out of 50. Physical inactivity, 42 out of 50. Drug deaths, 36 out of 50. The outcomes, diabetes, 36 out of 50, cancer deaths, 41 out of 50, and cardiovascular deaths, 37 out of 50. But none of them are great, and we all need to improve. Now, so we're starting with data. We've looked at the national data, and we're looking at state data now. The multi-use paths. There's 179 paths in Kentucky. That includes 90 miles. Indiana doesn't track that at the moment. They're working on that. But the rails to trails is our next category, and we have 28 of those in Kentucky with 63 miles. Indiana is doing a good job with 676, almost 677 miles, and that's 136 trails. And notice that there are three in Evansville area, and we also share the Big Four Bridge, which is a half a mile, and that's between Kentucky and Indiana. Now notice, I put this little note at the bottom, National Trail Systems, they allow for abandonment or banking. So the banking means that the railroads can use that rail trail later. If you have federal dollars, however, you must have an abandoned rail. But if you're not using federal dollars, you might want to make sure that it's not in a banking opportunity. But this is a link at the bottom from the trails link that tells you all the different trails and their mileage and where they're located. And then, of course, there's the United States Bicycle Routes. We have five of them in Kentucky. That represents 844.8 miles. There's four in Indiana with 906 miles. And I'm going to talk about, we're fifth in the nation in Kentucky because we just recently added two new bike routes in 2018. The first one is Bike Route 21, and it's 251 miles, and it goes through Daniel Boone's Trail, and it started, which he did in 1775, and it connects the Ohio River, goes through the Bluegrass area and ends up in the Cumberland Gap in Tennessee. And the other one that we added was the Connecting the Cave region of Southwest Kentucky around Mammoth Cave. But we always had that one, well, not always. Our oldest one is the one from Elizabethtown, and it's almost 500 miles. If you're looking at Indiana, you have four trails. One is proposed. That's 103 miles, and it should be, Brandon, can you tell us the status of that right now? He's probably on mute. But if you're looking at the other three trails, you've got quite a few miles there. One connects Louisville to South Michigan, one connects Illinois and Michigan, and another connects Illinois to Ohio. The last one goes through Brown County in Nashville, and it goes from Indianapolis to Seymour. But I think it's still in the works.
Hey, yeah, for that last USBR 235, we did get the application into ASHTO. We haven't heard officially whether or not it will be designated, but we got high hopes, and we're anticipating that it will be, so.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, thank you, Brandon. I knew you'd know the scoop on that. Also, if you're looking at this national corridor plan, not every state has actually got a route, and there's 29 states and DC have routes, and that's a total of 13,536 miles. Another piece of data that you can take to the people out there, or this is something that came out in August last year, bike fatalities increased in 2018. So you do have to, you know, worry about the safety of the road users, but that's our main concern. We went from 2009 to 628 bike fatalities up to 857 bike fatalities in 2018. Now, here's another thing that you might want to know about. Strategic highway safety plans. Every state is required to have one. This is a picture of the Kentucky one. But if you notice, 23% of all the traffic fatalities in Kentucky were vulnerable road users. That includes not only bike and pedestrians, but people on scooters and that sort of thing. So that's a scary number when there's not that many people. Okay, so we're talking about education, more facts. We went from the national statistics now. Now we're down to the more of the state facts. And in Kentucky, the 2019 numbers, we had 362 crashes on bikes, 5 fatalities, and 5 deaths. Injury crashes were 223, and there were 228 injured. And in Indiana, they had 761 crashes, 14 fatal crashes, 562 injury crashes. The data from Kentucky comes, it's, and probably all the states are the same, but it comes from the state police. They collect the data, then it goes to the Kentucky Transportation Center, which is the research arm for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, and then they collect and compile reports. So if you're interested in looking at those reports, those are there as well. And then we get specific down to the MPOs. If you're looking at the Evansville MPO, you had 5 crashes in your area. None were fatal, thank goodness. And you had 4 injury accidents. And this is relating to just the MPOs in Kentucky. That's the data I had available to me. But if you're looking, it actually goes by population. Louisville has the most population in Kentucky, and they had the most accidents. And I just want to tell you, a study that they did in Louisville, and they're also conducting one in Lexington right now, they did, they have GIS layers, and they laid one layer on top of another. The first one's the EJ areas, and that would include, you know, quite a few people. And then they laid on the bike crashes, and they found out that 33% of the crashes were occurring in the poorer areas, the EJ areas. And that probably makes a lot of sense, because if you're poor, you don't have a car, you're probably walking and biking a lot. Now, this is another good slide, and we're going to focus. We talked about the data. Now we're going to talk about who our target audience is to share that data. And we want to, of course, talk about new drivers. You can reach them through the driver education program, driver testing. You can lay brochures out at the same place. They're happy to put those out. College students, you know, there's a campus newspaper. They have biking groups. The motorist, traffic school, their captive audience, and, of course, your neighbors. And then Darren's going to talk to you about the green lines on the screen. Darren?
Yeah. So bicyclists and pedestrians have a difficult task to try to be safe out in the roadway. And this slide, the pictures in this slide and these slides help everybody understand the importance of education, because everybody has to share the road, the driver, the bicyclist, and the pedestrian. I like the slide at the bottom right. It is a good example of trying to accommodate a safe space for bicyclists, and it is allowed under the manual on uniform traffic control devices. I know from being a bicyclist that lines do not protect you, paint does not protect you from automobiles, but this is a better example of how a bicyclist could be accommodated safely in a intersection.
Yes, thanks.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Darren. And the reason that they're green partly is because it's green. It reduces emissions if you're if you're riding a bike instead of driving a car. And I wore green just to emphasize that fact. And these pictures were taken in Lexington. The top two are from a neighborhood beside me. And the one at the bottom is from the MUTCD, but they have it by Transylvania University. But it wasn't as pretty, so I took it off. Also, our target audience would be bikers themselves. And of course, the National Bike Club, the Wheelmen, is a national group, and they have a group in every state. There's also local bike groups, the Evansville Bicycle Club, the Guitar Lab. And you have local events coming up. The annual ABC Great Pumpkin Metric is in October, and then you have one in August in Henderson, picking and peddling, bluegrass in the park. And then, of course, you can always put stuff in your local bike shops. An effective message delivery. So we've talked about the data, who our audience should be, and effective message delivery. So you want to prioritize your messages. And the Federal Highway offers a lot of programs such as safety, helmet use, fear of the road, complete streets, and a road diet. And a road diet usually goes with complete streets, but it's going from four lanes to three lanes, and that allows you to have space to put in your bike lanes on the side. And of course, you want to be innovative when you deliver this message. And one of the things I wanted to showcase was this Lexington MPO now has a new interactive map. And it is a great thing you could add layers to. You can look at, I did Fayette County, Fix It Stations, Bike Stops, but you could put any layer on you want. And you might want to check out that website because it talks about, you know, the type of road, how long it is, what kind of path it is. And then, of course, the other thing for effective message delivery is marketing. You can, now this is something I've been bragging about you guys on because you told me this, one of the things for economic development is if your area is not healthy, companies don't want to come there because the insurance cost is too high. They'll look at your area and say, we're going to move and go to a place where the insurance isn't so cost, because that's a continual cross for anybody who has employees. So one of the things the League of American Bicyclists does is they help identify the bike-friendly cities. And they do that by looking, does your area have a complete streets policy? Do you have a safe passing law? Do you have a bike plan? Do you spend 2% or more of your federal dollars on bike and pedestrians? And then, of course, in your highway safety improvement programs, which we talked about earlier, do you have a bicycle safety emphasis area? I think I said the wrong name, but anyways, they do this once every year. You can accept applications. Once you get a title, it's good for 4 years. And you can market your city then. You can say, we're a bike-friendly city. It goes towards economic development. And this is how they ranked Indiana and Kentucky. Indiana did pretty good at 24. Kentucky's still 43rd. And if you're looking at those report cards with all the details, that's at the bottom there. Just to give you an idea of how we rank nationwide, Kentucky and Indiana are, you know, one right above the other. Indiana's got a bigger circle than Kentucky, because we only have two communities, a bronze city in Lexington and a silver city in Louisville. We have none. However, Indiana has 14 communities, woohoo! 11 bronze cities, two silver, one's in South Bend, and one is gold, and that's in Bloomington. And of course, when they do put this out, it's to give you courage to go up to the next level. They tell you what you need to do. So it's a very nice little sheet that they provide. And of course, you know, we talked about it being economic development and the encouragement portion of the five E's is, we could say Evansville is a bike-friendly city. Henderson is a bike-friendly city. We are platinum. That's where we want to go. And of course, oh, I've lost my earrings. Oh, sorry. The Kentucky Office for Adventure Tourism has a brochure out, and it's a how-to guide for communities, and it's designed to help the leaders take advantage of the economic opportunity brought by the attractions of trails and rivers. And it's not a nice to ankle in community, but it's linked to your hiking trails, your water trails, and your rail trails. And of course, you can thank the staff for bringing this presentation to you today, because this is National Bike Month. The Evansville MPO staff does a great job of trying to help everything. So just in summary now, I just want to talk to you about the data. We have talked about the data you have to share. It's at your fingertips now. Who the targeted audience is that you want to deliver this message, and how to effectively deliver the message. And don't think, if you're telling all this information and getting stuff out there, that you haven't been successful just because you can't see it. It isn't always what you see. You might have planted a seed way down deep, and it will show in fruition later. If you have any questions now, I know I went over time, and I'm sorry about that. But we had a lot of good information to share with you. If you have any questions, you can email me or you can ask now if there's time, but I'll stop sharing my screen. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. DuPont. Is this presentation, is this something that will be sent to us?
Yes, Carrie has it already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, we went dark in here for a minute. These lights go in and out because we were sitting here watching the presentation, so it happens. So thank you very much. Let's move on now. One of the things I didn't do is roll call, Carrie. Maybe we will do officially do that, please.
Sure. I'm working off a previous list, so if you're here, please say present. Troy Arnold with NDOT. Doug Boom. Matthew Bullock. Carrie Carmony George.
Here.
Michelle Christian. I see her name up there.
She said she's here.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay, thanks. Khalil Dugalish from NDOT. Don't see him. Nate Hahn. I can see
here.
Nick Hall.
Nick.
Sean Hayden.
Here.
Luke Hill.
Here.
Laura Phillippe.
Here.
Greg Wathen is present.
Present.
Jeff Whitaker.
Here.
Jonathan Siebeking.
Present.
Lori Van Hook. Thomas Witt.
Present.
Bernadette DuPont.
Present.
Troy Hearn. I see him. Brandon Burgo.
He's here.
Okay. And Darren Grenfell.
Here.
Is there anybody that I've missed?
Rick Wilson from Mets.
Okay, Rick, gotcha.
Thank you.
Chris Gentry with NDOT.
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. We need to, hopefully everybody's had an opportunity to look at the minutes. We'll need a motion for approval of the minutes, please. Is there a motion?
Ms. Lori, I motion.
Is there a second?
Rick Wilson, I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? If not, need approval, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any opposed? Carrie, it passes. I don't think we need to do an approval specifically, do we? Beyond that, okay, thank you. Old business, we'll do a project update. Pam, please.
All right, we will start with the City of Evansville projects. Covert Avenue, which is in construction right now. Van Avenue to Green River Road, the concrete work and sodding is complete. Gilbert Avenue to Weinbach Avenue, the concrete work and sodding is nearing completion. And the work is ongoing for the remaining phases. Walnut Street Phase 1. Phase 2 of construction, which is Rotherwood to Lodge Avenue. The concrete work is complete. HMA surface and sod remain to be finished. Phase 3, and there's a correction to the form, which is from US 41 to Lodge. I have it down as Rotherwood, but it's Lodge. Concrete sidewalk, trail, and driveway work is underway. Walnut Street Phase 2, which is in design. All offers have been made to the property owners, and as of the time of the quarterly meetings with the consultants and the city, 52 of 67 parcels have been secured. Pavement design has been received by the consultant as well as the geotechnical report. Walnut Street Phase 3, which is also under design. Comments on the draft environmental document were received and addressed by the consultant, and the document was resubmitted to NDOT April 30th. Moving down to the signal preemption project, it was awarded to Midwestern Electric. Construction activities are expected to begin in July. The sign replacement project phase three, that project is complete, and we will remove it from the project update for further reports. Signal head replacement project, the environmental document was approved in March, and design is continuing. Signal modernization project on Green River Road and Washington Avenue. Construction is approximately 40% complete. And then the signal modernization project at Mill Road and First and Green River and Vogel, that project is approximately 90% complete. Crosswalk striping is really the only remaining item in those two intersection improvements. Moving on to the Vanderburgh County projects, the Franklin Street Bridge. A public hearing has been scheduled for May 20th. And if you're interested in attending that, or at least finding out some more information about the public hearing, you can go to our website, and we have that hearing notice posted there. And then Oak Hill Road from Lynch Road to St. George. Work on early design is underway. A kickoff meeting with the county, NDOT, and consulting representatives is going to be scheduled. Moving on to Warrick County projects, Bell Road, which is under construction. Oak Grove Road to High Point Drive is nearing completion. North of Oak Grove Road, utility relocation is ongoing, and the storm sewer installation is also ongoing. The Warrick Trail Safe Routes to School project. Much of the clearing work for the trail along Casey Road and by Castle North Middle School is complete. Utility relocations are ongoing, and the trail construction will begin after school is let out for the summer. And then Telephone Road project, which is in design. Preliminary field check was held April 15th. Preliminary plans and the draft environmental document are in development. Moving on to projects that are in Kentucky. Watson Lane from Sunset Lane to Green River Road. Utility coordination is underway, and there's a tentative joint inspection meeting scheduled for September. The US 60 Spotsville Bridge, you may have seen some news announcements there, some public notices there. Beams are being set this week. The contractor will be working on the superstructure, which includes beams, trusses, deck, et cetera, this construction season. And then work is ongoing on the approach embankment on the east side. And then looking at the Kentucky 2084 and Kentucky 812 or Airline Road intersection improvement, utility work is underway and expected to last until August. A tentative letting has been set for November of this year. And then I'll hand it off to NDOT. I'm not sure who's going to be doing the NDOT update.
Hey, Pam, this is Chris. Is Matt there present? I didn't hear if he was there on roll call.
He is not.
Okay, I'll go ahead and run through a few updates for NDOT then. Starting with contract B43148, that's the US Bridge over Pigeon Creek. That project was let on April 10th and awarded to Blanken Brother Inc. contractor and will start in early June. They're working on scheduling a partnering meeting currently at this time. Contract R39921, the State Road 66 intersection at Epworth Road. We're currently working on a redesign and currently working with the consultant right now with some additional fees due to some of the changes that were recently made. Contract R37845 is the intersection improvement project on US 41 at Hillsdale Road. That project has moved to the January 12th, 2022 letting. Currently, there's some right-of-way easement under review. Contract R40551, small structure replacements along State Road 62 at various locations. Right-of-way appraising is still in the process. Looking at some parcel questions that have come in at this time. Contract R41410, This is a pavement project on US 41. Let me see, lost my notes there. And hydraulics should be submitted for this project in the coming weeks. Contract B42876, this is the pedestrian bridge on US 41 at the intersection of 41 and Washington Avenue. There was a stakeholder meeting held on April 28th. That was a virtual meeting, provided some additional updates and design details. And then as most of you are probably aware, a public informational meeting was held last night. It was held at the school to get some public feedback on some of the design and aesthetics concepts that were being proposed. So that is, I believe, all the updates for NDOT at this time.
Okay. Thank you. So next up would be Pam again. We're looking at some, I guess we're first looking at is more informational TIP modification for 2020-2024.
Yes, so at this point in time, let me just make a quick clarification. We have what we would consider an active TIP, which is the 2020 to 2024 TIP, and the difference between this one and the other one, which is the 2022 to 2026 TIP, is the active TIP, or the 2020 to 2024 TIP, has been incorporated into the Kentucky and Indiana STIPS, which is the state version of the TIP. Until the 2022-2026 TIP is incorporated into those two documents, we will refer to the 2020 to 2024 TIP as our active TIP. So, to the active TIP, we have two modifications that were made, and this is for informational purposes. The both modifications were to the same project. It's the Wathen Lane project in Henderson from US 60 to the city limits. The first modification was to take some funding that had been programmed in the TIP for right-of-way only and split it between right-of-way and utilities. And then the second modification was to increase the funding. The funding for right-of-way was increased to $419,000, and the funding for the utilities was increased to $710,000. The other thing of note with these two modifications is that the area received Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act funding. That funding can be up to 100% without a match, and so Henderson determined that they would like to use their portion of that funding on the utility section, and that amount of money is, let me look it up here, is $272,587. So that money is being applied to the utility phase of that project. And again, this is just for informational purposes, but I'll answer any questions if anybody has any.
Well, Greg had to leave, so I'm taking over to go through the agenda. New business, item B, FY 2022-2026 TIP amendment.
Okay, so this is the TIP that we're waiting to have incorporated into the state documents. But in the meantime, between those, the time that we approve the document and it gets amended into the state documents, we often have some amendments to projects in there so that we can keep the two documents lined up in terms of funding for projects. And that's what you have before you today. These are just changes that we need to make to our TIP so they reflect what's in the STIP. So we're looking at the NDOT projects, the I-64, various locations in the Vincennes District. It's an ITS program equipment project. We currently have that project in the TIP, and the STIP does not, and so we're removing it from our TIP. The next is for the Ohio River Crossing. NDOT had some right-of-way funding programmed in fiscal year 2022. The STIP was developed, and when they did fiscal constraint, they needed to remove that funding, so that funding has been removed, so we were removing it from our TIP as well. Side note, though, that doesn't mean that we won't be purchasing right-of-way for the Ohio River Crossing. That just means that at this time, they're removing that amount, and as the financial plan for the Ohio River Crossing continues to be developed, we will amend any new changes into our TIP as those come forward. And then the next project is I-69 from US 41 to I-64, an ITS traffic management system project. We had an amount in our TIP, and we needed to revise that amount, and it reduced it to about $200,000. The next amendment is the City of Henderson project, the Wathen Lane project we just talked about. Originally, we had the utilities and the right-of-way programmed in fiscal year 2022, but the project is moving such that they can get that done in 2021. So we're removing that funding from the future TIP. And then Wart County bridge inspection contract. We had some draft numbers in the 2022 to 2026 TIP, and since we developed that, they have negotiated that contract, and we're revising the numbers just to reflect those negotiated contract numbers. So any questions about any of these?
We need a motion for approval, please.
Motion from Nate.
Second from Rick.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passed. Next on the agenda is Henderson 2022 Shift Project Sponsorship. Laura?
Okay, so for those of you who haven't been through a SHIFT process before, SHIFT stands for Strategic Highway Investment Formula for Tomorrow, and it is Kentucky's transportation project prioritization process. And one of the first steps of that process is that the MPO must select six of their highest priority projects from the currently unfunded projects list to sponsor. The selected projects, along with those sponsored by KYTC District 2, will then be analyzed and given a data-driven score based on things like safety, congestion, economic growth, asset management, and benefit cost. Then the local and regional agencies will have a chance to review the scores and apply what they call boost points to any project that has merit above and beyond the identified performance measures. So what we're asking for today is approval to submit the list of projects that are either attached to the memo or on back of the memo for our selected list.
Any question for Laura? If not, entertain a motion for approval.
So moved from Nate.
Second from Rick.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion approved. The next item on agenda, other businesses? Any other business? The next one on the agenda is public comments.
Any Hold public- on one second. This is Bernadette. I had a bunch of things and I couldn't get myself off mute quick enough, sorry.
Sure, go ahead.
I put some things in the chat box for everybody and just wanted to let you know about some funding opportunities. The National Scenic Byways Program just announced new designations in February, and they added 49 new byways. There's 15 All-American roads, and 34 of them are National Scenic Byways. But they're going to have a funding opportunity coming out this summer, probably in July, but that's $16 million available. And then I put the link to that website on there, too, because if you go to that website, it's really cool. If you go to the bottom, you type in your state, you can see all the scenic byways for your area. And it's a really nice. And then, of course, the RAISE grants, you've probably heard about them. They had the Tiger grants, the Infra grants, the Build grants. Well, this is just the next in that series, and it's the RAISE grants, and it's called Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity. And their applications are due July 12th. So the link is there if you want to go to that. Also, we wanted to point out that the Public Transportation Authority safety plans are due. And within those plans, they include the safety targets. Those targets are due to the MPOs by July 20th of each year. The MPO doesn't have to immediately update their PIPs and include those, but with the next action, you know, an amendment or an update, they would include those. But that's July 20th of every year. And then, of course, another thing that happens with the transportation performance measures, our headquarters is looking right now at all the different states and seeing where they are as pertaining to non-attainment or maintenance areas. And they would, in 2022, would be required to start doing some air quality emissions targets. And in Kentucky right now, Cincinnati MPO is the one that has to do it, we will probably be adding Louisville. I do not think that Evans will be required to do that, but they will be having something out soon from headquarters for everybody to review. So you keep your eye out for that. And then of course, next week, I want to invite you all. We're having our 2021 Regional Nature's Call to Action Conference. And it's a free virtual conference on livability, climate change, and air quality. And it's gonna start on Tuesday, 1 to 4:30, and it on May 19th from 12:30 to 4:30. But it's free and it's virtual. And if you're interested, shoot me a link, an email or something. I'll put my email in the chat box. And we're gonna have a lot of great speakers. We've got several headquarters folks gonna be there. And I just think it's a good benefit. Free training is always nice. Okay, so thank you for letting me speak. Appreciate it.
Any question for Bernadette? Thanks, Bernadette. There is item 7 on the agenda. There are upcoming events and some information for you. If there is anything else or there is not anything else, I entertain a motion for adjournment.
I motion. This is Lori.
Second from Nate.
Signify by saying aye.
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 We're adjourned. Thank you very much.